you may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden, exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Two very special people, at least, well, to everybody. America's pastor, Pastor David Langford, and Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com. Pastor Langford, the voice of evangelism.com. Great people. You know, we closed out the last hour rather abruptly as Steve was talking about his social media. Before we get back to Steve and before we get back to Pastor, I just want to mention, folks, HagmanReportStore.com, HagmanReportStore.com, HagmanReportStore.com. Just go to HagmanHagman.com and click on the link there. Tonight's episode being brought to you by that, as well as healthmasters.com, americansurvivalwholesale.com. But the store is open now, folks, just our initiative. Check it out. Check out the product descriptions there as well. And again, as I said, we kind of closed out the last hour rather abruptly. And I'm going to toss it to Steve because, Steve, go ahead. You can explain about the social media aspect of,
right.
of your ministry. And go ahead.
Well, number one, you've heard me say that I don't do Facebook, and by a couple people that specialize in tracking all my links, my interviews are all over the internet, which I'm grateful to God, but I'm not grateful when people put up really sordid pictures. One lady said, "Do you know what's on your Facebook page?" And I said, "I don't even have a Facebook page." Well, then I was told how many people were basically monetizing it, and even that wasn't the issue. The issue is people stole my identity, and obviously I've got enough slander and everything out there, and I basically, I don't think I capitulated. I just got, let's just say this, righteously indignant. Obviously, Doug, you put me into with someone who is a very gifted, almost like a forensic internet investigator, and what I found out was it was absolutely astonishing. It's like, Pastor, if they would put out a bunch of Jesus-denying sermons and claim you preached them. Well, what they would do is take my stuff and clip it and add their stuff, and then they'd go out and hawk it. And obviously, there's a lot of views on some of these things. And so I was basically determined just to take it under my own responsibility. Now, again, I want to make it clear, I do not post or respond to those things. I have someone that takes my videos or takes the radio shows and puts them on those pages, so there's an official page. And I can't tell you how many links have been basically found out and sanitized, meaning taken out of wrong people. Now, some people did it harmlessly. Others did it maliciously. So I basically had to do it just to defend what I'm about versus letting others, you know, even to the point of saying things I never said. So that's why I did it. I don't respond to postings. I don't know what a friend on a Facebook is. I only know one thing. I'm on my face, and the only book I care about is the Lamb's Book of Life. Having saying that, it was a matter of liability also. So the point that I'm trying to make is that thank you to my legal team, especially, and thank you, Doug, for telling me what was going on. Now I'll turn it back over to David. David, go ahead and take it, sir.
Thank you, Steve. I want to say something tonight because I've already gotten flack just by the very fact that I went on the Jim Baker show. I've had some people write me and wrote me off because of what happened in his life 30 years ago. Jesus, in the Lord's Prayer, says a very profound statement. I don't care who it is, what it is. Number one, you have to forgive people. In Matthew 6:14, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, to forgive is one thing, then to turn around and pile up and buddy-buddy and backslap and carry on, that's another subject. But you must forgive, because we are told in Romans 12:10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Let love be without dissimulation. In other words, let love be without hypocrisy. But then in Romans 12:18, Paul said, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Now, I understand in the natural, I'm not going to be able to have peace with some people. And the reason I say that is because some people are energized by strife and by contention. There are people who have talk shows. Strife, clamor, evil, this is what generates their whole program. They're not about ministry. They're about strife and contention. That's how they get their energy. Not an anointing, but an energy to do what they do. And the reason I have, most people don't know this, but I felt for 3 years I was to have been on the Jim Baker program, and the fact that I got on was really by mere accident. But for 3 years I had felt led that I was to be on the man's program. And the reason I felt led was because I felt I could close up a few holes in some Bible prophecy. But what is impressive about Jim, and Steve will tell you this is the truth, this is a broken man. And the first book he wrote after he got out of prison was I Was Wrong. And I was in Charlotte pastoring at the same time, 20 miles of PTL, when all this came down. And Maximum Bob was the judge, and that's why his name was Maximum Bob, because he gave everybody the maximum amount of time if you have to fall under his court and jurisdiction. So he gave Jim Baker 45 years of prison. But of all people, Alan Dershowitz, the most liberal Democratic Jew in America, attorney, went and got him out of prison after 5 years. And he was fully and totally exonerated in everything, because I know a lot about what went on down there. It was not him, it was those people around him that were the negative effects. But when a man says, I'm wrong, and asks for forgiveness, if you do not forgive, I don't care what you do, Jesus tells us in Matthew 6:14 there, I'm not going to forgive you of your trespasses. And as I said, you don't have to slap them on the back, be buddies, pals, run around together, but you have to forgive. You have to forgive. And many people don't want to do that. And your forgiveness is what causes you to be sick and diseased and infirmed in your body. Because you're letting that bitterness, that unforgiveness, rule and dictate your life. It's like acid in the bottom of a wash tub. It will eat the bottom out, and your wash tub is no good. That's what bitterness and unforgiveness is like, acidity. It eats away, not at the person that you're not going to forgive. It eats away at you. It eats away at your life, not theirs, yours. And that's the duplicity and the deception of Satan, wanting you to think you're justified in not forgiving that person, or even to the point of hating or disliking that person. I've been done wrong. Steve's been done wrong. Joe's been done wrong. Doug's been done wrong. Every one of us have been done wrong. If you're a living, walking, breathing human being, you've been done wrong. Somebody has done you wrong. Your mama, your daddy, whatever. Molested by your dad, molested by an uncle or an aunt or whatever the case might be. We've all been done wrong. But we must learn to forgive. Now, that doesn't mean I have to, as I said, go around and now be the pal and the buddy and run around with them. But I have to forgive them. And as I said, Steve and I will be on this coming Thursday night or Thursday, Friday. He's on every network. He's in 180 million households. And then we'll be on Monday and Tuesday of next week. Out of the kindness of your heart, I'm going to ask every listener tonight to shoot an email or drop a note in the mail to Jim Baker and say thank you for allowing Pastor Lankford and Steve Quill to be there, because he allowed us to come and to share our hearts. And Steve will tell you, Steve, I didn't pull no punches, did I?
You did not pull any punches, and I want to share this. It took incredible fortitude and a revelation from God to Jim Baker on the whole pre-tribulation rapture. David laid it out with seven scriptures, and it was so anointed. By the way, the presence of the Lord there, ladies and gentlemen, if you wonder why we keep bringing that up, is because God wants all people to experience the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Go ahead, David.
Everyone there is a type of broken personage. He's asked me, would I come back and preach a revival? And having come home and prayed, God has then given me the sermons to preach, and fundamentally every sermon is going to be around brokenness. Everyone there, that's what was such a special thing. Everyone has a broken story to tell you. Everyone. As Jim and Lori both say, they were both Humpty Dumpty sitting on the wall, and they both had a great fall, and God put them back together. That's what God's in the business of, redemption and restoration. David said, he restoreth my soul. And the reason I embrace the man is because he's the only man that's got the platform that he has in the television media, preaching post-trib rapture and trying to get people ready and warning the people. You have to give honor to whom honor is due. You have to respect that. That's why I respect the man. That's why I esteem the man, because he gets beat up every day, too, by his so-called Christian friends and other media ministries who are mocking and criticizing and slandering and all of this stuff, because he is trying to get the church ready for what's coming. And so I'm from my heart tonight, if I have any weight in your life, those of you listening, any weight at all, any influence at all, after the programs are aired, would you be so kind to thank them? I'm not asking you to send money. I'm asking you to demonstrate thankfulness. And I'll tell you why. One of the great sins in the church today is the spirit of unforgiveness and not willing to be thankful. In 2 Timothy 3, Paul made it clear that people would be unthankful and people would be unholy. I don't want to ever be unthankful for God and his blessings in my life. And we see much of that today. I've never seen such a time of unthankfulness. I want to be thankful because God took me out of the horrible pit, the miry clay, and he set my feet on a solid rock. God did not have to save me. He could have let me have died in my sin. And you know, when I was sharing with Jim there on the set how that Joseph was put in the pit, and I said, Jim, you were put in the pit. And he looked at me and he said, I just got a revelation. And I said, what's that? He said, they were trying to kill their salvation. They were trying to kill their deliverance, which was Joseph. Sometimes the very thing that God is trying to use to save you, you're trying to kill it. Because you're proud, you're arrogant, you're bitter, you're unforgiving, and God is trying to use a circumstance or a situation to heal you and to bring life. And what is so profound to me about this, and I've shared it, and I'll share it one more time and give it back to Steve. After Joseph reveals himself and sends the wagons and all the commodities and the food and everything back to Jacob, and the brethren say to their dad, Jacob, Joseph is yet alive. And it said that Jacob's spirit was revived. And, of course, they went back down, and Pharaoh gave them the land of Goshen, which was one of the most flourishing parts of land in Egypt at that time. But that's what he gave them because of Joseph and who he was. But here is what I learned through this. For 17 years, they were down there having dinner, having fellowship, hugging each other, having dinner together, slapping each other on the back, laughing at the dinner table, just having a great time. But just as soon as Jacob died, fear hit those men unbelievably. And they became afraid. And when Jacob died, here's what they said. Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin. For they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. Now he's weeping again. Now he's weeping for a different reason this time. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for I am in the place of God. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. They didn't understand it. But here's what I learned through all of this. They never forgave themselves. Because as soon as Jacob died, they said, certainly Joseph will requite us of all the evil which we did unto him. So for 17 years they are reconciled. For 17 years everything is hunky-dory. But as soon as Jacob died, fear, trepidation, anxiety overwhelms them. They say, he'll kill us now. Dad's gone, the old man's gone, and Joseph is going to get even. But the Bible said, and Joseph wept when they spake at him. Those were tears against Eve. Why? Because Joseph was a type of Christ, and he wept because he understood, you guys still don't get it. After 17 years, of us being reconciled as a family, you still don't get it. And how many times in life do people just still don't get it? They just don't get it. They just don't get it. And you can't make them get it. The only way you can get it and get the understanding and get the revelation and get the comprehension is by spending time in the presence of God. Because just as surely as Jacob died, they said, he's going to kill us. Going to kill him. But Joseph said, you meant all this for evil, but God meant it for good. He sent me before you to save your life. Jesus is a Savior. He's a Redeemer. Yet he cannot let sin go without punishment either. And I want those of you listening tonight to try to find the place of forgiving others and forgiving yourself. You know, even sometimes we can forgive others, but we struggle to forgive ourselves. I've done some terrible things in my life when I was backslidden away from God. And the devil, there were times, would try to eat me with guilt and condemnation for some of the things I did. Because I could never reconcile some of the things I did in sin. It's virtually impossible. And to whom has been forgiven much, love much. That's why I love God so much. Because he's forgiven me for so much junk. I mean, just pure old ranchy, you know, raunchy randy sin. Just filth. Just degradation. But he forgave me. And I am so blessed to be a child of God. And I had to learn to forgive myself and put the past behind me. And that's the trouble with so many people, that they can't put the past behind them. Thus, Philippians 3:13-14, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Paul didn't say he did a litany of things. This one thing I do, I forget those things which are behind me. Your past is your past. It can never be changed. It's done. It's finished. It's over with. So quit living there. Quit dwelling on it. Get over it. Forget it. If you're washed in the blood, God remembers nothing about it. He doesn't even know about it. How he can do that, I don't know. But he said, I will remember your sins no more. I don't know how God can do that, but he can. And so I just ask you humbly tonight, I encourage you to watch the program. I believe the program with Baker will bless you immensely. But I would invite you to stretch out a hand and say thank you for having Steve Quell and Pastor Lankford on there and letting them share their hearts, the Word of God, and the things that God has shown them. Because I want him to be encouraged that what he's doing, just like Joe and Doug, what they're doing, that's why we encourage them, because we are to strengthen the brethren. And so, please, I would humbly ask you to strengthen his hand. And I'm not asking you to send him an offering or anything like that, but just say thank you for having Steve and David on there, because it meant something to you. And I know that it will touch your heart. There's no doubt in my mind, because Steve was anointed. I was anointed. We didn't pull any punches. We shared our heart. And I thank God the way it worked out, because now instead of 3 days, we have 4 days of programming there. So you'll get to hear practically everything that was said in that. So just, like I said, drop a note, shoot an email, and say thank you for allowing these two brethren to come and share the gospel of Jesus Christ and their testimonies with you on your platform. Go ahead, Steve. I'm going to give it back to you.
Am I coming through? David, I could barely hear you. I heard a click, and I don't know. Doug, is my volume okay?
Yours is fine, Steve. Pastor Quayle. Okay. Pastor Langford.
Please don't call me that, Brother Doug, please. Pastor Langford.
Okay. Pastor Langford. Yeah, we're all okay. Eric opened the gates up a little bit.
The headset I had to go to. I'm on the regular phone now. I'm holding it by my hand instead of my headset because my battery went dead.
Okay. Well, listen, I want everybody to turn with me to Exodus 19:10-25. I call this the saddest day in Israel's history. I also can tell you this is why God sent Jesus as a second Adam, because no man can see God and live, yet God made an exception to that in Exodus 19. But look how the people respond. And the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and be ready against the third day. For the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. and thou shalt set bonds, or excuse me, bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves that ye go not up into the mount, or touch the border of it. For whosoever toucheth the mount shall be surely put to death. There shall not a hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned and shot through, whether it be beast or man. It shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come to the mount. I preached a whole sermon, Pastor Langford, on touch not the glory, unless the glory is in Jesus.
Amen.
And Moses went down from the mount unto the people, and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, be ready against the third day. Come not at your wives. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceedingly loud, so that all the people that were in the, or that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in a fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and the Lord said to Moses, up to the top of the mountain. And Moses went up. And the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. And the Lord said unto Moses, go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. And let the priests also which come near to the Lord sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. And Moses said unto the Lord, the people cannot come up to the Mount Sinai, for thou chargest us, saying, set bounds about the mount, and sanctify it. And the Lord said unto him, away, get thee down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee. But let not the priests and the people break through to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. So Moses went down and spake unto them. Exodus 20. And God spake these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Notice that. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God, and thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant or nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle nor the stranger that is within thy gates. Now keep in mind, this is all the schoolmaster that leads us to Jesus Christ. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And all the people saw the thunderings and lightnings, and the noise of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking. When the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, here is the lie, speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. And the Lord said unto Moses, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, ye have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. And so what's interesting is that the children of Israel were questioning whether Moses had really seen God. And when he went up, even though they saw the thunders, the lightnings, even though the first time Moses presented the Ten Commandments, everything that God did to show himself as a king of glory, the religious people rejected. Here's the thing that's going to happen, and here's the prophetic part of this message. the people that had once known the Lord will persecute those who presently know the Lord. When the true persecution comes, it will be the demands of the worldly church to get rid of those pestering Christians that believe in the God of the supernatural. David, I remember when I first went on talk radio 25 years ago or whatever, saying the day would come when the Bible would be illegal. I said the day would come then, and I just said it a couple months or weeks ago, whenever, that it will be a capital offense to own the Bible. It will be a capital offense to say Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And what's going to happen is already happening. Now I want to take Hebrews 12, 14 through 22, and then I'll turn it back to you, Pastor. Hebrews 12, 14 through 22. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, for one morsel of meat, sold his birthright. Ladies and gentlemen, Esau was very, very close to the living God. Esau, obviously, was jealous of his brother, Jacob. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, because he was the eldest, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. For you're not come unto the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, nor into blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard and entreated the world should not be spoken to them anymore. In other words, the children of Israel heard the literal voice of God, saw the literal presence of God, and said, we don't want to deal with that. Moses, you just tell us what to do. That's the average fate of people that go to church. They don't go to church to meet with the King of Glory, the great physician, the blood of the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. They go to be entertained. For they could not endure, verse 20, that which was commanded. If so, much as a beast touch a mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. Hebrews is an amazing book in that Paul answered all the religious people of his day. And David quoted the scripture. Paul said, even though I've known all this stuff, trained under Gamaliel, I'm paraphrasing, you know, was a Pharisee of Pharisees, yet I purposed in my heart to know nothing except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. What we're telling you, ladies and gentlemen, is basically this. It's not by power nor by might, but by my Spirit, God speaking, saith the Lord. Without Him, I can, we can, you can, and all of us can do nothing. But with Him, they that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Go ahead, David, take it.
You know, Steve, when you were there in Exodus, reading there, and the people, in verse, I think it was 20, or 19, no, 19, they said, we don't want to hear the voice of God, but let God speak to you, and then you speak to us. Well, this is where the phraseology and the term came, thus saith the Lord. The prophet, the seer, the sage would get in the presence of God and God would speak to him. Ezekiel 3:17, Son of man, I have made thee therefore a watchman under the house of Israel. Therefore hear the words at my mouth and give them warning from me. Now, I would love personally to have had the relationship or the potential relationship that Israel had to literally hear the voice of God audibly. Now, I hear the voice of God in my spirit. But I'm talking about an audible voice, just like you hear our voices on this radio program tonight. The people did not want that because it was so convicting, it was so powerful. They said, Moses, let God speak to you, and then you come tell us. And this is where the phrase and the terminology came and the prophecies came, thus saith the Lord. When you're listening to programs such as tonight, and we're inundating you with the word of the Lord, we're simply doing that. We're saying, thus saith the Lord. And you can take that lightheartedly, or you can take that with sincerity and with great gravity and say, you know what? I better adhere to the word of the Lord, because it is the word of God. That's why I preach the Bible the way I preach it. Paul told Timothy, 2 Timothy 4:1, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, preach the word. And so we've been charged to preach the word. And, of course, we all know there's such a famine of the word of God. You can't hear a pure word anymore. You hear a polluted, compromised, watered-down, diluted word today, and that's not going to help you. You need to hear the purity. Anything, and I said this before, we'll say it again, is at its greatest strength in its purest form. And so what Steve and I have tried to do tonight is share with you the Word of God in its purest form, thus making it at its greatest strength to have the greatest impact and effect upon your life. We want to be used of God to change people's lives. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. God is in the business of redeeming and saving and creating right hearts and clean spirits. That's God's business. And the way he does that is he chose the foolishness of preaching. You know, I'm happy that God called me to be a preacher. When I was away from God, backslid from God, I didn't want to be a preacher. But God chose the foolishness of preaching. 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God unto salvation. Preaching to a lot of people is foolishness, but that's what God chose. So you can look at this and say, well, this is foolishness. This is absolute foolishness. Well, that's what God chose. And you can look at it in the light of being foolishness, or you can look at it as being, hey, God is speaking to me. You know, Paul, to the church at Corinth, in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 3:7, he said, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are all laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. And so, one waters, one plants, but God gives the increase. And so, that's what we're trying to accomplish. And I always want to be mindful and thankful of Joe and Doug and their willingness to allow Steve and I to come and share the Word of God. We do suffer our attacks. Joe and Doug, they get beat up just like everybody else. I get beat up. Steve gets beat up. But we're being beat up for all the right reasons. We're trying to do that which is right. And that doesn't bother me. I've come to the place in my life that doesn't move me. It doesn't bother me anymore, because I only have so much time left on this side of eternity, and I'm going to do whatever I can to try to help get people into the kingdom of God. As Steve said earlier, he that winneth souls is wise. And if you're a wise person, you will help, and you will do your part to win souls. Now, everybody's not a preacher. Everybody's not a teacher. Everybody's not a speaker. But you can help support the work of God to help get the message out. And I thank God for the brethren that are all doing their part to try to get the Word of God out, to touch the hearts and lives of people. There's coming an event that's going to change the world before Jesus comes. And I'm not talking about the Great Tribulation. There's going to be something that's going to take place that's going to get everyone's undivided attention. You're not going to be scatterbrained. You're not going to be on your phone. You're going to be looking to God and His Word, because it's going to be that powerful and that catastrophic and that moving that people are going to say, what is going on? Two things will happen. God is going to allow this event to drive you either to him or it will drive you away from him. Because in the first of the year, after I came off my fast in January, God put something into my spirit, very simple. You're either going to become a goat or you're going to become a sheep. You're not going to stay in the middle ground anymore. And I believe because of God's righteousness, God's justice, and God's pure judgment, Genesis 18:25, shall not the judge of all the earth do that which is right? God is going to allow an event to push us to one side or the other. And you will go to one side or the other, because in the judgment, Matthew 25, the sheep are put on the right hand, the goats are put on the left hand. And he's going to say to those on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting darkness. And to those on the right hand, you know, enter into the kingdom of God, eternal life, that you'll reign with me forever. And so this, I don't know what the event will be, but I promise you, there's something coming. And it's going to get everybody's attention, because it will bring fear and consternation, anxiety, trepidation. Because Luke 21:25 said men's hearts would fail them for fear, looking after those things which are coming upon the earth. And I don't know what it will be. I asked Steve the other night, I said, you know, what do you think God's doing with Trump? Because I don't have any clarity, but Steve, share with them what you share with me, Steve, about what you feel like God's doing with Donald Trump.
I believe that God is literally using him as a prosecuting attorney to show the hypocrisy of the, you know, Republicans, the Democrats, and I believe he's actually, if you will, raised up by the Lord to fulfill the word that God gave me years ago. And the fact is simply, David, that before God allows Russia and China to destroy the United States, he's going to reveal the sins of the leaders and the sins of the people before their God, and the sins of the leaders before the people. That's happened. That's a fulfillment. I got an email the other day that said, nothing you say ever comes to pass. I said, oh yeah? The people that say that don't even take the time to look at the point we're in. Where are we in? Apollyon, Abaddon, the destroyer, has already destroyed the military. He's already destroyed the family. He's put everything that's an abomination of God before it. He mocks Jesus. He mocks the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He claims to be a Christian, but he's not. He even said his Muslim faith in George Stephanopoulos. The tree is known by the fruit it bears. And just like the scripture I read earlier, ladies and gentlemen, this country is ripe unto judgment. Maybe God is giving us a timeout with Donald Trump. And by the way, you can pray for him too. God can absolutely turn that man's heart. Doesn't the scripture teach, David, that the hearts of the kings are like rivers of living water, and God directs them wherever he will?
That's right. It's in the hand of the Lord. Go ahead.
I just think
that this may be a reprieve. That this man, you see, God used Pharaoh, God used Nebuchadnezzar. God has always used heathens in his plan. Nehemiah got favor from the king to go back and build the walls of Jerusalem.
Yep.
So, you know, God can use anybody, anything, and that's why Revelation 17 has always been so powerful to me, for God hath put it in their hearts to fulfill his will. You know, God put it in Donald Trump's heart to run for president. See, men do things that they think, oh, I'm only doing this because this is what I want to do. Well, Steve Wells said, the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, like a river. He can turn the course as he will, because he's God. Nobody can do that but God. And that's why the principal part of knowing who God is to fear him, because he can put something in your heart. And you think, well, I'm just doing this because this is what I want to do. Oh, no. No, God can put it in your heart, and you will do that because that's God's will. And so God may be giving us a reprieve. I don't know. This was a leap year for America. This was a leap month for Israel, because Passover was April the 23rd, but the church and I hate to use the word Easter, they celebrated Easter a month before Passover. So that shows you how skewed the Gregorian calendar is with the Jewish Hebrew lunar calendar. And I want you to understand that, because that is significant, because every 2.7 years, Israel has to add a leap month to their calendar to keep it synchronous. So, you know, you people out there saying, well, I'm keeping the Sabbath. Well, if you celebrated resurrection back in March, you missed it, because it was really in April. Because go look at Passover, was on April the 23rd. So, I'm not going to go there. But the point is, God is getting ready to do something. And God's going to use his people. He's going to use heathen people that will open doors and do things. And just like he used Pharaoh and gave him a dream and troubled his mind, he brought Joseph up there, and Joseph became second in command of all of Egypt. But he perplexed the heathen's mind to the degree he had to seek counsel. And the butler said, oh, I remember my fault. This day there's a man in prison that can interpret dreams. God has the ability to trouble men's minds till they seek out godly counsel. Or they can be like Saul and go after a witch. You know, that's what backslidden people do. But it's the heart of, again, the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. So let's do remember what's coming up this fall, and let's pray for divine protection and for divine guidance. Because, you know, I'm concerned that they would like to assassinate Donald Trump. I really believe that. And with El Chapo saying he would get even with Donald Trump for all of his verbiage about building a wall, they've got the system installed in place to accomplish their goals, but God can still divinely protect and watch over Donald Trump. But God can certainly use the man to give this nation one more chance. You think about what his little cliche is, make America great again. America will not be great because of economics, production, etc., etc. It'll only become great if God is in it. If God is not in it, it will not be great. So I want you to think about that. Steve, I'm going to give it back to you and or to Joe and Doug and let you guys finish it out. My voice is getting kind of tired.
Thank you, David. God bless you. I want to read one of Randy Conway's poems. I'll post this in the alert. And it's called Hearts of Stone. Fraudulent smiles on bitter faces, a heart of stone the flesh encases. I see cold eyes, just reflections of within. I envy not the lives of such cold and angry men. Pretending all is well while the nation revels in wickedness, the conscience of the people is seared and they love viciousness. Lacking wisdom with necks too stiff and hearts too hard to learn, the message of the gospel the foolish men have spurned. Without repentance has not our future been written long ago, to become a hissing in the eyes of the nations, because to sin we choose to hold. The extent of our grievances are too numerous to make a comprehensive list, but there is yet time to seek the Lord and the enemy to resist. However, time is fleeting and the length of our days is not ours to choose. We cannot afford the gamble in waiting, for there is too much to lose. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and yet lose his soul? Today is the day for men and nations to repent before the final bell has tolled. Randy Conway. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to work on a link. It'll go up on my site as soon as we can, the webmaster gets it done. It's going to be poems by Randy Conway. And I asked Randy to basically put them in the time sequence that God gave it to him. And this is a pretty amazing thing. There's another one I'll post on my website tonight on the alerts, under dreams and visions. Because again, most people don't know this. In some of the original books, the Psalms, the Proverbs, and other in the Old Testament, there's actually a book called the Rhyming Bible, and in Hebrew it rhymes. So, Randy, God bless you. Thank you. You know, only God can melt or soften a heart of stone. And
and that's what we're doing when we pray. And guess what? Nothing softens a heart of stone more than the tears of repentance and to be known. And I'm not trying to do what Randy does, only he can do it. But remember this, the pagans, the haters of God, they revel in the book of death, in the book of the dead. We marvel that our names are written in the book of life. Doug, God bless you. Joe, God bless you. And go ahead and close it out, because again, I'm like to the point where my voice will go, and I've got a jaw that locks up sometimes, so lockjaw. By the grace of God, people have been blessed. Remember this, it's not what we say, it's what you do with what we say. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Blessings to you, Doug. Blessings to you, Joe. Thank you, David. Good night.
God bless you, Steve. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve.
Pastor Langford, thank you so much. God bless you. You know, Pastor Langford has his own radio show, and of course he had done the radio show earlier today, so not much time in between, and of course talking for 3 hours plus an hour, it's a big job. So thanks very so much for Pastor Langford and Steve Quayle, both men of integrity, men of character, and certainly we really appreciate their time here.
Just give you guys a heads up for what's coming up this week. We have Greg Jackson tomorrow for the first 2 hours, followed by Stan Dale. Wednesday, we have Steve Quayle back with us again with Gary Haven, guy behind the movie Amerageddon. And we got a sneak peek at
Gary's
the movie.
You know what, Joe? Gary's just a fantastic guy. The film, Amerageddon, just so people know, Chuck Norris's son had directed that, but Gary really he really furnished a lot of the funds for the movie. And if it's not, the movie's coming out on February 13th, I believe it is, or February, May. What's wrong with me tonight? Oh my goodness! On the 13th of May, so really 4 days from now.
Yeah, select theaters.
Yes. But everyone should really see it. I mean, really.
It's interesting. It is very interesting.
Yeah, we got a chance to see it, and I'm gonna write a review of it, and I think it's well worth it. But you're right. So tomorrow.
Tomorrow, Greg Jackson, 2 hours, then Stan Dale.
Right.
Wednesday, Steve Quayle and Gary Haven.
Right.
Thursday, we have Michael Snyder.
Right.
He has, he's a great writer. He has a website, and his website is called, where I got it right here. I want to make sure I got it right. Oh, goodness, where did I put it? I believe it's the end.
Sorry about that, but regardless. So a full week planned for you as well. Folks, some of the headlines, and it's interesting Pastor Langford brought up this fall. We're seeing some pretty dire headlines here. Or you're not seeing them. If you're not, you should be plugged into them. The economic aspects, the economic crises that we're seeing, it's extreme. We have, of course, terrorists now have drones. If you haven't seen that.
I'm sorry, Michael Snyder's website, endoftheamericandream.com.
Right.
Endoftheamericandream.com. I've seen him on Alex Jones recently. I don't know that he does much radio interviews, but he does a lot of great writing.
No, he does. He's a fantastic writer. And then, of course, but as we were talking about, too, the economic... pending economic issues.
What do you mean? Stock market's fine.
Yeah.
Gas is only, rose 50 cents this last 30 days? I mean...
Yeah.
Did you notice that?
Yeah, it's gone up tremendously here.
Since the end of March until now, so maybe 5.5 weeks, it was $1.95, it's up to $2.45 here.
You know, the fire up in Canada, folks.
Yeah.
I've got some very strong suspicions about that. I don't think, I've gotten a couple of emails here by listeners, and we have a tip, and I want to thank JD for putting that up there, tips at HagmanandHagman.com, but the fire in Canada that is against Fort McMurray, there's a lot more to that story than you're being told.
80,000 were evacuated initially. They say the size of the fire is due to double by Wednesday.
This is no small matter, and this has a bigger story to it and has a very sinister aspect to it. ISIS. Understand ISIS is in America. Well, they in Syria, ISIS executed a 7-year-old boy.
Yes,
for blasphemy. So, you know, horrific. All of these
in the headlines are important. North Carolina governor,
yes,
not backing down on the transgender bathroom issue. The yes. Governor of North Carolina is now suing the federal government over the funds that they're trying to withhold. And Loretta Lynch issued a statement today.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
On that. We'll get Greg's take on that tomorrow.
All right, HagmanReportStore.com. Thank you, Global Star Radio Network. Thank you, everyone. Eric the Tech, God bless. This is communication.